Hey, I'm very upset right now. I'm hot. I am hot. I'm not talking about my looks right now. I'm very upset. And I guess it's good for me to talk it out because I just spent a half hour recording a podcast, a little bit more time before that, putting stuff together. And somewhere between me moving it from this computer to the next computer to edit it and upload it, I lost it. It's gone. It's not in either place. And I'm upset. This has happened before where I try to move a file to an external hard drive and then move it somewhere else where you copy it and then you go to another place. It didn't copy, so you go back and copy it over. But this time I moved it. So when you move it, last time I did it, it showed up, but this time it didn't. So it is gone. It's not on this drive. It's not on a hard drive. It's not on that drive. It is just gone. A half hour worth of work and I'm hot. However, I need to turn this loss into a lesson to never do that again. The reason I start moving them instead of copying them, because I leave copies on, I have all this stuff in due places, which I guess is better to have it in two places than no places. So anyway, I really wanted to show you this video clip. For those of you who are watching the podcast, many of you listen to it, so you're going to hear all of it. If you just listen to it, I just feel bad because 2 weeks ago I recorded a podcast with no video, it was just audio as well. And the truth is, a podcast, this is supposed to be just audio only. I'm adding the video as a bonus, but I was really excited because I got this little clip of my daughter and my son in it and did a lot of work, and I'm still hot. But anyway, I need to turn this loss into a lesson, and I hope you enjoy this another audio-only edition of Connecting Faith and Life. Thanks for listening, and thanks for putting up with my frustration and me being a little hot today. But I hope you enjoy it, and hope you continue to listen to Connecting Faith and Life, where our desires help you live for God by connecting faith and life. And I got to connect some faith and life right now and trust God that he knew exactly what he was doing and why this happened. I even prayed, Lord, please give me a great time for a miracle, but no miracle. And I have to resign to not my will, but your will be done. I learned a very valuable lesson. I turned this loss into a lesson. I will never do that again. But again, enjoy this episode of Connecting Faith and Life. Hello, welcome to another edition of Connecting Faith and Life. I'm your host, Mr. Brown. Thank you for joining me. As I always say, I really, really appreciate the fact that you took time to listen to this podcast, where our journey together to live for God by connecting faith and life. So in this episode, I want to talk about something you should do, something you should really do. And actually, the title or the thumbnail came from my daughter when she was maybe six or seven years old. I found a video that I want to share with you right now as we jump off this podcast. I want to share a video with you of my daughter. For those of you who don't know, I have several YouTube channels, including the one for Proclaim Ministries. I think we have 7 YouTube channels right now: Proclaim Ministries, Proclaim Student Ministries, Kids Ministry, Hello Mr. Brown, Life with the Browns, the Choose Well Program, and Mr. Brown Kids. Those are all 7 of my YouTube channels. And all of them are not, you know, we don't post every day or maybe once a month. Some of them are post more than others. And eventually, as we build a team, I would like to post on all of them. They're all ways to reach out into our world today. Life with the Browns is important to me because, you know, kids see my families and kids are on YouTube. They're on these social media networks and they're seeing all these people who they think are, you know, celebrities. And I'm not a celebrity, but a lot of kids do know me and I would love to share my family with them. So for a while, I was doing a vlog every single day. I did it twice, 31 days of vlogging, where I made a video every single day. And in this clip, it's titled, What Happens When Your Daughter Takes Over Your Blog? What happens when your daughter takes over your vlog? Because we went to the studio. We're going to shoot our video for that day. And it was me, Evan, and Sophia, and they were much younger. They're so stinking cute in this video. Or they say super cute in this video. That Evan was a little squirmy, and so we just left. And Sophia ended up shooting a whole vlog by herself, and it turned out really, really cute. So I'm going to play it right now. You guys can check this out. I think it's really, really cute. Check it out. How you choosing? I hope you're choosing well. Oh, yeah. Well, today I didn't know what I want to do for the vlog, so I was going to have my kids as my special guest on the vlog today.
What does the animal love?
What?
The dada and mama.
Cut.
So we sat down and we tried to record some things, and Evan was a little squirmy, so it didn't work out. So me and Evan, we left Sophia in the studio by herself. And she took over the vlog.
Dear Grace, and I will be making my own vlog today. Knock, knock. Peanut butter. Peanut butter jelly time. Knock, knock. Fish. Fishy, fishy, fish tails. Knock, knock. Moo choo. A moosey tube. Moosey tube. You get it? You get it? Crack up. Now I will be talking about my day at school. We're learning about insects and we are doing a play in May. Hey, that rhymes. Play May. And I want to tell you what this says right behind me. Dream big. You gotta dream big.
Dream big. Yeah.
Use kind words. Say I love you. Say please and thank you. It's true. You should do with that stuff.
You can read it a couple times.
Well, that's mostly it. Bye.
That's my little girl. And the theme that I want to take away from that was, it's true, you should do that. She was talking about using kind words and please and thank you. But in this episode, I want to talk about something we should all do. It's true that we should do. And it's right in front of my eyes, right in front of your eyes. If you're watching this on YouTube or on our app, it's right in front of your eyes. It's on the shirt that I'm wearing. It's called Consider Others. I think this is so important to me. This is something that we started as our family. I remember at the dinner table, the kids with both of them want to talk to mom at the same time. And, you know, we just started saying, hey, consider others. Try to look at somebody else's needs, not just your own. I think it's nature, maybe sinful nature, for us to only think about ourselves and what we want, to do, and all about us. And so we came up with this idea of consider others. And not only that, this consider others mantra or idea or theme comes from the Bible, Philippians chapter 2, which we're going to talk about today. But through the Choose Well program, we made it into what's called a anti-bullying campaign. I've done it at several schools so far. And what happens is this, every kid gets a Consider Others shirt. And if you want your own, I would suggest you go to HelloMrBrown.com and click on the merch button, and you can download, you can actually order your own Consider Others shirt. You can get a Consider Others hoodie. We have a lot of different things. I choose kindness. We have a lot of merch, and this helps us keep going to school. You can get some Consider Others socks if you want some. I mean, if you want to be that bold, get some socks. I have a pair. Consider Others tank top, hoodies, whatever. You can get your Consider Others gear right there on the website, HelloMrBrown.com, and click on the merch button. But this is how it works in school. So the school purchases a Consider Others shirt for every kid. However, we just don't give them out. That's the plan. We just don't give them out. What happens is this. Maybe some student leaders, some educators, they will wear them on a given day, hopefully on Choose Well Wednesday. That's a day that a lot of teachers wear Choose Well shirts to school to just reinforce the message of choosing well. So they wear the shirts. And then all that day, when other students or staff say, hey, where'd you get that shirt? Because we notice a lot of different people or several people wearing the shirt, you may ask a question. And if they ask that question, they get a little sticker or a ticket. They get to go to the office and get their own shirt. And then it keeps spreading like that. And they have little cards that says, I choose, little pledge cards. So once the whole campus has the shirt, I'll come back to the school and do an assembly. We've done it at Weaverville, at Durham Intermediate School. We've done it several different schools. And it's really, to my mind, a great way to really encourage students to consider others. It's an anti-bullying campaign without saying the word bullying, because, you know, we can tell kids, hey, don't bully, don't bully, don't bully. But, you know, what else? What can they do? Give them something positive to do, and that is consider others. And so I give an assembly. We talk about that. And it's not just considering each other. It's considering the adults in their lives. Consider everyone around you. Just try to consider others. And I really enjoy doing this campaign at schools. And I really do like wearing a shirt. And I wish I had enough money right now to, whenever I wore the shirt, whenever I wear it, people always comment on the shirt. And if they do, I give them a sticker that says consider others or a card. I wish I can give them a t-shirt. Wish I can be like, hey, you want a shirt? Boom, there you go. Maybe one day I'll be able to give them a discount code, 50% off if you go get your shirt. But I just want people to grab onto that idea of considering others. Not just thinking about yourself, but others as well. And so this is what I want to talk about today. And the whole idea came from Philippians chapter 2. And I want to look at verses 1 through 11. And I'm not going to cover, I'm trying not to cover the whole thing. I actually have an outline for the whole book of Philippians and do a Bible study on that. Just got to get around to doing it. But here, the reason we need to consider others is because it's what Jesus did. Jesus is our ultimate role model for life. And I often tell parents, and I even embrace this truth myself, that I'm an imperfect role model. You know, before my kids, before the world, I'm an imperfect role model. However, Jesus is the perfect role model. And in Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about this idea of Jesus being the perfect role model. He didn't use those words, but he says we should consider others as Jesus did. So in Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to start at verse 1. Read through verse 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says this. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affections or sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. He's encouraging believers to based on Christ, if any encouragement in Christ, we should be on the same page. We should be one, having the same mind, the same love. We should be focused on the unity in the body of Christ. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only on his own interest, but also on the interest of others. He gives them parallel. Do not do anything out of selfish ambitions or vain conceit about yourself. This is a vain conceit. I think another version in my head that I memorized said vain conceit, but a conceit. But in humility count others more significant than yourselves. So humbly look at other people, count them as significant, more significant than yourself. Look what says in look at NIV version. NIV says this. More Bibles. Again, I really like this Bible app. It's called Olive Tree app. I did a whole video on the Olive Tree app. Maybe I'll link it in the description. It's a free app, but I think it's an amazing app to use. So if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, you should go to the app and watch the video, or go to YouTube and watch the video. But this app is really amazing, and I like all the Bibles I can get in. But the NIV says this in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That's where I got it from, vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking on your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. That's my idea of considering others. Like, it's not that you don't consider yourself, you don't look after yourself, because I said this in the previous podcast. Jesus got away from the crowds often. He got up early before light to pray. We have to take care of ourselves. And I believe, like, I just made a video for students about YOLO. You know, I don't know if you heard the term YOLO. It was years ago. You only live once, right? You only live once. So students would take that and go do crazy stuff, right? YOLO, jump off a cliff and, whatever. I believe this is true. YOLO, you only live once. We got to take care of our bodies. We got to take care of the things that matter. God gave us our body. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that our bodies are His. In the context, talking about sexual purity, but I think that extends more to even how we take care of ourselves. Paul told Timothy that body exercise is little value, but work yourself into godliness, right? But I think it has some value to take care of our bodies. But so we should take care of ourselves. But he says, rather than humility, value others above yourself. I need to think about others. How do we do that? Not looking on your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. We should be looking out for other people. This is part of being unified as a body of Christ. And I think it should extend too to those who are not a body of Christ. I want to consider others as I live my life. And even in the deepest way, consider others if they don't know Christ as their Savior. I have this treasure. I have a hope that is not perishing, as Peter said. And I want to share that hope with others. And I want to consider them that they can have the same hope, that they can have the same joy and anticipation of a future hope. I mean, I'm securing it now, but I'm looking forward to it being fulfilled or revealed in the future. That hope is in Christ. So I want them to have the same thing. So I'm considering them as well. And I think humility can count others more significant than yourselves. Not that you are less than, but you don't think of yourself as much. You want to have. And because there's so much joy serving others. So I think we should do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. Look at verse 5. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Christ is our perfect example. Verse 6. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Listen, this idea of considering others doesn't come from me. Yes, it's a great anti-bullying campaign slogan. It comes from Christ. Christ is our perfect example of how we should live our lives with other people. It's not about us. It's about how we can serve others in view of him, in an example of him. Christ came and suffered. He bled and died. The Bible says, what love, no greater love man has than this, to give his life for his friend, right? That Christ gave himself for us. But also, he gave himself for sinners. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 5. That's why I like having the Bible open. I can just, sometimes I'm making these videos, I'll be like, I call it cross-quoting scriptures. It's not that I'm quoting them or, you know, I'm messing them up on purpose. But the reality is, I just be taking different versions of stuff and just putting it on mashup. I'll be doing mashups. But I can open the Bible right here with you. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, I believe it is. Verse 5 and 6. We can start with 5. Verse 5, let's see what it says. Verse 6, for while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. He gave the example. He gave his life for many. And what a supreme act of sacrifice. And that's what Paul is referring to, that Christ gave himself, and we should have the same mindset to be willing to serve others. And I think about this idea of serving others or giving my life mostly, and I think about all time, but I think about it in my marriage. Now, if you are married, let's be honest, marriage is hard work. It's rewarding, but it's hard work. And maybe it's easy for you. I'm putting that. Marriage is hard for me, and not because of my wife. It's because of me. I mean, people ask me when I first got married, what's one thing you learned from being married, you know, after a year or 2 years? I learned right away how selfish I was. I didn't know how selfish I was. You think, oh, I'm going to do this for my wife. You have all these romanticized ideas about how you would function once you're married. But the reality is, I was single most of my life. Like, I've been single more than I've been married. And I just got used to doing things for myself. And one of my favorite stories that really does not put me in good light was when my wife, she was at Simpson University. She was last year of school, and I was at home, and I went to McDonald's and got some McDonald's. And back then when I ate McDonald's, I had a trick. I would go through the drive-thru, and I would order my sandwich, whatever that be, and fries. And I order extra order fries because you have to eat the fries on the way home because the fries are just so good, you know, back then. It's funny because my kids do not like McDonald's at all. They do not like McDonald's. But you'd eat the fries on the way home. Then when you got home with your burger, you would eat the burger and the fries together. So I'd eat two orders of fries, right? So I get to the house. My wife comes home. She said, oh, we got McDonald's. Where mine's at? Yours is at McDonald's? I didn't even think about getting her any McDonald's. And I'm selfish. My point is this. Marriage taught me how selfish I was. And the verse I look to be the man that I want to be is in Ephesians, where it tells us to the men, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. And this theme of Christ being a sacrifice keeps coming up because I think it is the model we're supposed to follow. Let me look it up. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's see what it says here. Therefore, let me look it up real quick. I think I quoted it right. Verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Let's not read that. We'll talk about that another time. Because a lot of times when preachers read that, we talk about women submit. I think that verse really is for women, but also for men to be the kind of husband that's worthy of being submitted to. Anyway, that's another subject. But let's go down for husband. Verse 23. Nope, that's not for husbands. Here, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present to the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. So I think when I think of Philippians, I think of how I need to consider others in every area of my life, but to my wife, to love her as Christ loved the church. And there's kind of a parallel to me there. When you look at Philippians chapter 2, the fact that he says that, you know, the example of Christ, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Jesus is God. People debate that and say Jesus was a good man. He was a good prophet. Listen, if Jesus is not God, Jesus was a lunatic. Somebody said this way a long time ago. He's a lunatic, he's Lord, or he's a liar, something like that. I don't remember exactly. But if Jesus is not God, he was crazy because he claimed to be God. He claimed to be one with God. As a matter of fact, we were watching one of these videos with devotional through the YouVersion Bible of Life of Jesus, and they had little video clips, and he was saying, I think it was John chapter 6, we're talking about, he must eat my flesh, you know, and drink his blood. And think about that. If this man was not God, he's crazy, like just crazy. So he is. Jesus is fully God, and he humbled himself. The God of the universe poured himself, emptied himself, as it says in this passage, to be in the form of man, taken on the form of a servant. He washed his disciples' feet. He served other people. He came down. Could you imagine being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And he came down to walk this sinful earth, to be among us, never sinning, never committing sin, but being on this earth. He limited himself by being hungry. He thirsted. He cried. He got tired. Jesus, the God of the universe, became man, and he emptied himself. He did not grasp at. He did not cling to his deity, which he always had, but he humbled himself. And he, being born in the likeness of men, it says in verse 7 and verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. How hard is it sometimes for us to humble ourselves? Like, hopefully I'm not prideful. I try, you know, because I know it's not about me, but what if somebody asked you to wash the feet of everybody that came in your house? Or I can't think of something equivalent to our day where to take the lowest seat, the humble place, and not be in a place of prominence, not to be in a place of, oh, look at me, but take the most lowest place. It'd be hard for us because we're taught to, you know, put your best on, look good. Right? I get it. We're representing Christ, but being willing to serve is so important. And Christ did that. He emptied himself, being taken a form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus became a curse for us. He hung on the tree. 2 Corinthians 5:21, which I keep bringing up. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ died for us. He became accursed for us. He humbled himself. And what Philippians is asking us to do is simply to consider others. To consider others more important or valuable than ourselves. To not just look at our own needs. And I think that's the answer. How do you consider others more important than yourself? Is to not look only on your own needs, consider their needs. When you're driving the car, like today, I was so tempted and I had to pull off the gas. I'm driving and I'm going to the exit, right? And this other car who knew he wanted to get in his lane, but he didn't want to wait back there with everybody else. But he came and he's flying up, trying to find somewhere to get in. So he can't get in. Why? What good would that do me or him? It's not about me. Okay, maybe he was wrong for doing it, but at the end of the day, number one, I want to be safe as I drive. Number two, so what? He got in front of me. Big deal. I really think about that a lot, this idea of consider others when I drive, because other people aren't so considerate. They don't let you in, you know, trying to turn, and you want to get back to the... Look, I ain't got time to be playing those games. And honestly, it is so relieving not to play those games, not to always think about how can I push myself up? How can I, you know, jockey for position when I'm driving? Or look, at the end of the day, I want to get there safe. They can get there safe. So I really think about, and I want you to think about, how it is can you consider other people? I do it sometimes when I'm on an airplane, like, you know, willing to give up my seat at times. And back in the day, ain't no way I'm going to give up my seat, especially on Southwest. I want to get that exit row seat with the long legs. I want that, right? But even when helping people put their bags up, and sometimes when I do stuff for people, they're like shocked, like, what, you're doing that? Like, thank you. They're shocked. And I think as believers, we should be the people that are looking out for the people. Not that we don't matter, not that we don't take care of ourselves, But he says here, I think he gives the example of what it means to verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in the alternative, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. How do you do that? Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, we should list our own interests, not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. So we can consider others more significant by taking a moment to think about them as well and not simply ourselves. So, yes, it's true. You should do what that says. You and I should do what the Word of God says. In this specific incident, in this specific passage, I think the ultimate thing is to consider others. In humility, count others more significant than yourselves. And by doing that, I think we will glorify God. We will be following the perfect example of Christ, who gave himself, who humbled himself. He was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. That's our prime example for how it is that we should consider others. All right, y'all, that's another one, another podcast in the books. If you appreciate this ministry, if you get something from this ministry, I would love for you to let us know. Hey, leave a comment. Visit our website, proclaimministries.com. Visit the website. We'd love to hear from you. Love to know if this is benefiting you to help you live for God by connecting faith in life. Also, when you're there, please consider signing up for our email newsletter. We send out an email every single Tuesday. Sometimes we send an additional one out as well. Sign up for that. Also, I would encourage you to get the app. Download the app, because on the app, you will get notifications and you will see a lot more content on the app than you do on YouTube. And lastly, we would love for you to donate to this ministry. Please become a Proclaim partner. You can visit proclaimministry.com/give. You see on the screen right here, your donations are tax deductible, and it really will help us to continue to create more and more content to help people just like you live for God by connecting faith and life. With that said, this podcast is over, and I usually end by saying peace. And a quick story about the peace thing. I made videos for my old church when I was a kids pastor, and one of the kids used to go peace with three fingers. And so I thought about this. I like that. I want you to have peace with God, the peace of God, and peace with people. So I want you to have triple peace, right? The peace with God, the peace of God, and peace among other people, with people of God. So with that said, thanks for joining us, and hopefully join us for the next edition of Connecting Faith and Life.